Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 46 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
It is offered through the Kentucky State Police, and I do know that several of our schools have gone through the training.
Officials are discussing the effect of school shooter drills on students.
A new report says sexual abuse by priests in the Louisville diocese dates back 70 years.
An investigation is underway after a body was found in Pikeville.
A contractor is behind bars after allegedly scamming several clients.
Oral health is considered a key component in fighting the opioid epidemic.
In sports, the Rowan County girls host their last game of the season tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Chance of rain tonight with a low around 46 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Active school shooting drills began taking shape in the United States after the Columbine High School shootings in 1999. 20 years later, the National Association of School Psychologists and the National Association of School Resource Officers issued a joint guidance that claims while drills have the potential to save lives, those not conducted appropriately can cause, quote, physical and psychological harm to students, staff, and the overall learning environment. Carter County is one of the school districts in the region that conducts those drills. District Administrative Professional Pam Kuhn says the Carter District gets regular training from law enforcement about how to conduct drills properly.
They provide active shooter training in our schools. It is offered through the Kentucky State Police, and I do know that several of our schools have gone through the training. It's held after school. No students are present during that training.
39 states require lockdown, active shooter, or similar safety drills, while other states have less explicit requirements or leave drills up to the districts.
Students are invited to help Moorhead State win the top spot in a national campus recycling competition. Recycle Mania began Sunday and continues through March 30th. Participating colleges and universities will measure the amount of recyclables and trash collected on their campuses each week. Hall Director Hannah Tolliver explains why the competition is important.
I think that it's because it gives us a moment as a campus to kind of pause and recognize that recycling is a priority for us. It also benchmarks us against other universities, so we're able to kind of get a feel for whether or not we're keeping up with the times.
All recyclables should be cleaned before they are placed into recycling bins on campus.
A vote is expected this week on the future of water quality standards that impact nearly two-thirds of Kentucky's waterways. The Ohio River is consistently ranked as the most polluted in the country, with an estimated 30 million pounds of toxic chemicals illegally dumped into the waters each year. Ira Tansley is vice chair of the Environmental Justice Committee with the Democratic Socialist of America in Northern Kentucky. She says some of ORSANCO members aren't acting in the river's best interest.
Many of them have ties to industry. They often put many pollutants into the Ohio River. So it seems to me that they are more interested in representing the interests of industry than they are in protecting health and safety for all users of the Ohio River.
The commission will meet in Covington on Thursday and could decide on another proposal that would strengthen the standards and ensure they are consistently enforced by the states. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, where candy makers are busy packing gourmet chocolates and heart boxes and tins for your special Valentine. The most popular Valentine gifts are delicious long-stemmed strawberries and grapes available February 11th through 14th. Candy makers hand-dip 30,000 strawberries and 400 pounds of grapes for Valentine's Day. Located at 550 North Maysville Road in Mount Sterling or 213 Walton Avenue in Lexington. Online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
A newly released report says sexual abuse by priests in the Louisville Catholic Archdiocese dates back 70 years. Thousands of church documents were reviewed by Mark Miller at the request of the Archdiocese. The review found 22 priests had at least one substantiated report of child sexual abuse. Most of the accused are deceased, however, eight were prosecuted due to the investigation. Louisville Archbishop Joseph Kurtz hopes that the investigation will inspire healing and push others that have not come forward to speak up.
I do need to say how deeply sorry I am for any time that the church, either by denial, by apathy, or by placing blame elsewhere, has added to your pain if you have experienced sexual abuse.
The report comes 16 years after the Louisville Archdiocese paid $25 million to settle abuse claims by hundreds of victims.
An Ashland man was arrested Sunday on allegations of stabbing. According to the Daily Independent, police responded to a stabbing report on Beach Street around 1 a.m. Sunday morning. 57-year-old William Cooper was reportedly involved in a dispute with his neighbor, who came to Cooper's apartment complaining of loud music. After his neighbor left, Cooper allegedly forced himself into the neighbor's apartment with a knife. Cooper was arrested after a lengthy standoff with police. He's charged with first-degree burglary, first-degree assault, and two counts of non-payment of court cost. He was arraigned in Boyd County District Court this morning. The victim was treated for torso lacerations at King's Daughters and has since been released. Cooper is currently lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center.
Police in Louisa arrested several people on Saturday for drug-related charges. WYMT reports police attained a search warrant for a home on Wooten Lane and arrested homeowner Brandy Perkins. Police also arrested Jonathan Hall, Jason Hill, Brandy Mullett, and Felix Cancel. Perkins faces two charges of trafficking and one OFR possession of drug paraphernalia. The latter three face similar drug-related charges. The group was taken to the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
A death investigation is underway after a body was found in a driveway of a home in Pikeville. Officials tell WSAZ they responded to a call Sunday night where they found 44-year-old Michelle Smith dead at the scene. Officers believe a robbery took place and Smith was possibly assaulted with a motor vehicle. Anyone with information about the case is being asked to call Kentucky State Police Post 9 at 606-433-7711.
New charges have been filed against a Martin County man accused of murder. According to EKB-TV, 67-year-old Elwood Six was arrested last year for allegedly shooting of Rodney Stepp in December of 2017. A grand jury has returned an indictment of second-degree manslaughter, but the ongoing investigation has recently uncovered new evidence. Kentucky State Police Trooper William Petrie says detectives followed up on additional leads.
New information received, and he acted upon that information, conferred with a Commonwealth attorney, and decided to represent the case for additional charge.
Six charges have been amended to first-degree manslaughter, and his bond has been doubled.
A Lexington man accused of kidnapping a woman and forcing her to take money out of her bank appeared in court today. 27-year-old Jody Shipman was arrested on Friday, and police tell WKYT it wasn't the first time he'd done something similar. A little more than 2 weeks ago, Shipman allegedly approached a woman in a parking lot and stole her credit card, which he then used at a gas station. On February 7th, Shipman allegedly went up to another woman in a parking lot at St. Joseph Hospital and demanded money from her at gunpoint. Shipman now faces two counts of robbery and fraudulent use of a credit card.
A Nicholasville man faces arson and burglary charges in connection to a pair of fires at a Lexington business. WKYT reports that Gregory Casey was arrested Friday in connection with the fires, which occurred December 26th and February 7th. Officials with the Lexington Fire Department say both fires in the building formerly occupied by H&H Racing on Brentwood Court were arson. Lexington Fire officials say Casey has been charged with the February 7th fire.
A Madison County man is in jail after police say he allegedly threatened to send people to torture a woman. LEX 18 reports that Daniel Middleton accused a woman of stealing from him. The woman called police saying that Middleton allegedly said he would send his, quote, goon squad to torture the woman until she returned what she had allegedly stole. Middleton is facing charges of tampering with physical evidence, terroristic threatening, theft by extortion, and being a felon in possession of a handgun.
A Louisville contractor is facing more than a decade behind bars for scamming clients in several counties. KNN's Haley Hansen has the story.
34-year-old Scott Cooper, the former owner of Precision Restoration Company, pled guilty to 36 counts of theft by deception and theft by failure to make required disposition of property. An investigation found Cooper would collect money to replace roofs, but would not come back to do the work. He allegedly scammed people in Jefferson, Bullitt, Nelson, and Oldham counties out of more than $268,000. Cooper has been ordered to pay the victims back and is facing 13 years in prison when he's sentenced in March. I'm Haley Hansen.
Owensboro Democrat Jim Glenn will keep the contested 13th District House seat after Republican D.J. Johnson withdrew his complaint last week. In the 2018 midterm elections, Glenn won the seat by a single vote and was sworn in. After Johnson filed a complaint, a GOP-dominated panel called for a recount, which determined the race ended in a tie. Glenn's team accused Republicans of interfering with the voting process, and Johnson rescinded his complaint on Friday.
The best solution would be for me to win the coin toss and I get seated. For me, that would be best for me. But what's best for my district, what's best for my people and my community, is that we end this. And for the good of my community, for the good of my people, at this point, Mr. Chairman, I'm asking that I withdraw my challenge.
Glenn will now take the seat, leaving the ratio of Democrats to Republicans in the chamber 39-61.
Oral health is a key component in fighting the opioid epidemic. That's according to dental professionals in Kentucky who are encouraging patients to take a more proactive role in prevention. While often necessary to combat dental pain, opioids come with a high risk of misuse and addiction. Dr. Ted Wong is the chief dental officer for United Healthcare Dental. He says there are other alternatives to manage pain.
Instead of Vicodin or Percocets, which are the typical opioids that are prescribed, recent studies have shown that a combination of Tylenol with Motrin are as effective, if not more effective, than opioids for dental pain, and you don't have the risks of opioid addiction.
More than 130 Americans die each day from opioid overdoses, and nearly half are estimated to be related to prescription opioids.
63% of Kentuckians voted for Marcy's Law in November. If enacted, the law would grant crime victims the right to be informed and have a voice in the judicial process. Now lawmakers wonder if the question on the ballot was too vague. Supreme Court Justice Michelle Keller tells LEX 18 the ballot question didn't take into account how the legal system actually works.
If you ask the voters if they're for crime victims' rights, who other than a sociopath is going to answer any way but yes to that question? But when you get down into what that means on our system and how we process crimes committed, I think it gets very, very complicated.
Supporters say the language was clear and the vote should be certified. Detractors worry that Marcy's Law could undermine judicial system protections for the accused.
Taking a look at your local weather forecast for the week, tonight a 100% chance of rain, patchy fog after midnight with a temperature falling to nearly 46 by 8 p.m. Tomorrow, a 100% chance of showers, windy, with a high near 60. Tomorrow night, a 60% chance of rain showers before midnight, then gradually turning to snow throughout the night, windy and cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy and windy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 43 degrees. Current temperatures in your listening area are 45 degrees in Flemingsburg, 44 degrees in Maysville, 46 degrees in Ashland, 46 degrees in Grayson, 50 degrees in Inez, 46 degrees in Mount Sterling, 48 degrees in Lexington, and 46 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a Morehead State University professor was recently awarded a grant from the Kentucky Humanities Council. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
The Video Vault Kentucky Edition program has been a longtime project for MSU Professor of Mass Communication Jeffrey Hill. Hill says he began the program about 8 years ago.
It basically takes a classic Hollywood film with a Kentucky slant. Could be a Kentucky writer, director, actor, crew position, something of that nature. And I come on screen, discuss the film, discuss the historical significance, discuss the Kentucky connection. We watch the film. I then come back on and wrap up the program.
Now, Hill says he has the opportunity to bring it to a close.
I received a grant from the Kentucky Humanities Council to produce my 7th and final season of the Video Vault Kentucky Edition.
Hill says that working on this program has been a pleasure.
What's been kind of interesting in, you know, researching all of these films is how prevalent there have been some Kentucky crew and some Kentucky actors and actresses. You know, it's not like it's one person in one film. I've got some different people that have been in, you know, a half a dozen films, a dozen films. So that's been kind of interesting.
Hill says he's very fortunate to have had Video Vault be able to reach such a wide audience.
The KET is the broadcast station, and about 3 years ago, they decided to put this on prime time. So it's 8 o'clock Sunday night on KETKY. So I think that's kind of a nice testament to how important this truly American art form is to not only the United States, but to the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Hill says he is pleased that the Kentucky Humanities Council is supporting the project.
It's just a great joy to be able to, you know, take a look at some of these classic Hollywood films of yesteryear and share them with the, you know, with the Commonwealth. Appreciate the fact that the Kentucky Humanities Council likewise sees the worth of this program and is supporting it.
Previous seasons of the program are rebroadcast every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on KET. The 7th and final season will premiere this summer. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's 4:47 and 46 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this dreary Monday afternoon. Chaz Jenkins has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The Lady Vikings are home tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Chaz Jenkins. The Rowan County girls host their last home game of the season tonight against Nicholas County. The Lady Vikings' record this season is 19-7, while Nicholas County girls are 13-12. Coach Matt Stokes says his team is going for their 20th win of the season.
They like to do a lot of 1-2-1-1 press, and then they drop back into a 2-3 zone. So, you know, we're going to be getting ready. We've seen the 1-2-1-1 press all year from a lot of teams. Like I said, you know, we handled it pretty well against Clark County. You know, if you can handle the press at Clark County, you can handle just about anybody's press that they're going to throw at you.
Tip-off tonight is set for 7:30 p.m. Several other area high school girls teams in the 16th region are in action tonight. Ashland Blazer hosts St. Joseph Central out of Huntington. East Carter hosts Fairview, Elliott hosts West Carter, Greenup travels to Fleming County, Raceland hosts Boyd County, and Bath travels to Robertson County. Tip-off for all those games is set for 7:30 p.m. Both the girls and boys from Rose Hill Christian travel to Fort Gay, West Virginia for a doubleheader tonight. Tip-off with Tulsia for the girls is set for 6 p.m. and boys at 7:30. In other boys' regional action tonight, Morgan County hosts Greenup, Raceland travels to Paintsville. Both those games will begin at 7:30. The Rowan County boys are resting today after falling at Morgan County on Saturday. The loss moves the Vikings to 22-4 on the season. Coach Sean Thacker says his team had a rough start in Saturday's matchup.
Yeah, offensively and defensively, we just kind of got off to a slow start, got behind in the first quarter, had a really good second quarter, battled back, got it to a 2-point game before the half, and then they hit a couple threes, you know, and stretched the lead back out, you know, just kind of, we battled back, but we never could get it closer than 3.
The Vikings will spend most of the week in the gym before their final 2 games of the regular season. Rowan hosts Fairview on Thursday, and they travel to Mason County on Friday. The bracket for the 61st District Tournament has been set. WMKY's Leon Akers has the story.
Rowan County will host the 61st District Tournament this year, February 18th through the 21st. The Vikings open the tournament with a Monday night matchup with Menifee. Rowan beat the Wildcats in both of their regular season matchups. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. Fleming County and Bath County will face off in the 8 p.m. game. The Panthers beat the Wildcats at home and on the road during regular season play. The winners of Monday night's games will face off Wednesday in the district final at 7 p.m. The girls' tournament begins Tuesday night in Moorhead. The Lady Vikings will square off with Fleming County in round one. Rowan beat the Lady Panthers in both of their regular season matchups. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. Menifee and Bath County meet in Tuesday night's nightcap. The two teams traded wins during regular season play, with each team winning on their home court. They'll face off for the first time in neutral territory at 8 p.m. The winners will advance to the final round on Thursday at 7 p.m. Teams that compete in the district championship games will advance to the 16th regional tournament next week. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers.
The Moorhead State University men's basketball team is back at work this week preparing for the next two games in their home stretch. The Eagles dropped their contest with Belmont on Saturday 96-86 and will next face in-state foe Eastern Kentucky University Thursday. Head coach Preston Spradlin says despite the loss, strategy won't be changing much.
Spent a lot of time yesterday watching film and learning of our mistakes in the post, whether it was from the first Belmont game and certainly our Tennessee State game where they went to work on us the other night. And so that was a huge positive. That was a huge positive tonight, because it wasn't like they didn't try to go to Big Mazinski. They tried. They went to them, and we did a really, really nice job of just not letting them get easy ones.
Tip-off at home Thursday is set for 7:35. After that, the Eagles will host Austin Peay Saturday for a 4:35 contest. Coming off a tough home loss to Belmont, the Moorhead State Lady Eagles hit the home court again Thursday night when they take on Austin Peay. MSU hopes to get back in the win column as the regular season winds down. Head coach Greg Todd says his team will have to bounce back from its performance against Belmont if they hope to take down the Lady Governors.
We didn't have our best offensive game. There's no question. I just felt like we were a little bit tight, and we got some good looks, got some great shots. I know we got double the amount of shots they did in the first half, and we're still down. So it's wasn't a great sign, but we did play extremely hard.
MSU sits at 18-7 overall and 9-3 in the OVC, while Austin Peay comes into the game at 11-12 overall and 6-6 in the conference. Tip-off from Johnson Arena is set for 5:05 p.m. Thursday evening. Finally in sports, the Moorhead State softball team dropped 4 in a row to open the 2019 season. WMKY's Grant Johnson has more.
The Moorhead State softball team kick off the season on Friday in the Phillies Rafter Memorial Tournament at Bailey Park in Kennesaw, Georgia. MSU was down just one run at the end of Friday's opener, with the Owls falling 6-5. The Eagles dropped to a 6-2 decision to Chattanooga in the morning game Saturday before falling 6-1 to Ohio in the midday meeting. Chattanooga held the Eagles through 4 scoreless innings on Sunday. Both of the Eagles' runs came in the 5th inning after 3 straight walks allowed the runners to get in scoring positions. The Mocs won the day, however, 10-2. Moorhead State jumps back into action this Friday when they take on Mount St. Marie's at 2 p.m. in the first game of the Eagles' round robin hosted by Georgia Southern. For WMKY Sports, I'm Grant Johnson.
That's your look at sports. For WMKY, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball hosts Austin Peay at 5:05 p.m. on Thursday, and men's basketball faces Eastern Kentucky at 7:35. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks wobbled as investors weighed the possibility of the U.S. and China striking a deal to end the ongoing tariff war. And at the close of the Dow, industrials did show a loss of 53.22 at 25,053.11. The broader indices were stronger, with S&P 500 up 1.92 at 2709.80, and the NASDAQ Composite finishing with a gain of 9.71 at 7307.90. And, of course, a report came out yesterday citing two administration officials that said President Trump's advisors have informally discussed holding a summit with the Chinese President Xi Jinping next month at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's private club in Florida. This meeting could take place as soon as mid-March, the report said. However, the officials cited in the story added that nothing has yet been said. Tesla shares were very strong today, gaining more than 2.3% after an analyst upgraded them to buy from hold. The analyst also hiked his price target to $450 from $330, which would imply a 47% upside over the next year. And Avis Budget Group jumped 7.4% after it was upgraded to a buy by a major Wall Street broker who actually before had Avis rated a sell. And this broker did notice that the stock does currently carry an attractive valuation at current price levels. In the commodities markets today, oil was down 0.8% at $52.39 a barrel. Gold was down 0.5% at $1,311.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.7%. In the Far East, stocks were mixed. The Nikkei was down 2%. However, the Shanghai Composite was up 1.38%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Nike and American Express, and the worst performers were Disney and United Health Group. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Abiomed and Newell Brands, and the worst performers were Activision Blizzard and Lowe's. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust up 13 cents at $41.55, UPS up 83 cents at $108.93, Dollar General up 94 cents at $117.26, Anthem down $2.22 at $302.03, AK Steel was down 3 cents at $2.89, and Marathon Petroleum was down 98 cents to finish at $61.74. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, the Moorhead Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 12th, in the conference room at the Rowan County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends of people with mental illness are welcome to attend for support and education.
The Department of Music, Theater, and Dance and the MSU School of Creative Arts will present the classic French comedy Tartuffe, February 14th through the 22nd, in the Cottle Little Theater inside Breckenridge Hall at Moorhead State University. Performances begin at 7:30 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Sunday, February 17th. Tickets and information at 783-2170.
The Osher Lifelong Learning Institute will hold an open house and registration for spring classes from 1 to 2 p.m. on Thursday, February 14th at the Moorhead United Methodist Church located on West Main Street. Learn about upcoming classes, win door prizes, and enjoy refreshments.
The Moorhead Lions Club is sponsoring a Master of Illusion magic show at 3 p.m. on Sunday, February 17th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Tickets are priced at $10 at the door and the community is invited. Proceeds will support the Moorhead Lions Club.
Come to Le Cabaret, an event of music and dinner at the Gateway Regional Arts Center at 7 p.m. on Friday, February 15th. Celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian dinner, cash bar, and live music. Tickets are priced at $15. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Chaz Jenkins, Keneally Roberts, Haley Sidham, Grant Johnson, Brian Courtney, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, and Tanner Boyd. KNN's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment this afternoon came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.